Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 421, the first stanza. O God of hosts, O God of grace, how lovely is thy holy place. How good and pleasant is thy dwelling. My thirsty soul longs earnestly, yea, faints, thy holy courts to see. And what follows, Psalter 421, the first stanza. Portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 19. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah 19. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. And the water shall fail from the sea, and the river shall be wasted and dried up, and they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up. The reeds and flags shall wither. The paper reeds by the brooks by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brook shall wither, be driven away, and be no more. The fishers also shall mourn, and all they that cast angle into the brook shall lament, and they that spread nets upon the water shall languish. And moreover, they that work in fine flax, and they that weave networks shall be confounded, and they shall be broken in the purposes thereof, all that make sluices and ponds for fish. Assuredly the princes of Zoan are fools. The counsel of the wise counselors of Pharaoh is become brutish. How say he unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings. Where are they? Where are thy wise men? And let them tell thee now, and let them know that the Lord of hosts has purposed upon Egypt. The princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, branch or rush may do. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a tear unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself, because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan, and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day, and shall do sacrifice and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Lord, and perform it. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, he shall smite and heal it. And they shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. And that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel mine inheritance. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. John and Abigail Liefding, who were blessed with the birth of a daughter. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee to grant unto us and our children another Lord's Day. And then it behooves to acknowledge thy great and worthy name, wherein the past week, in the midst of the trials of life, that thou wast crowned the earth with thy goodness and with thy mercy, where we and our children have been the recipients of so many blessings from above. Then it has pleased thee to grant us another week of grace. And then as the most holy, all-seeing, all-knowing God, then thou hast seen our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. O Lord, it is a week that we can never do over again. It is never a week of self that we can undo. It is a week that shall never return in the time, and it is a week of which we must give an account. And then we do well when thou granteth another Sabbath day to examine our lives and our hearts, where also the sins of this past week have remained. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may remember us and our children in this day with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Thou knowest most perfectly how that each and every one, from the youngest child to the oldest one in our midst, how they have come up to thy house. Thou knowest most perfectly how that we have spent a week. Thou knowest how we have risen in this morning. And Lord, when we have come up out of custom and duty, it is according to thy holy word. Oh, it was also so for so many on the day of Pentecost, but it does not stand thee on the way. May it be the time of thy free and sovereign grace, that thou may begin that good work, to work that need for that event, because by nature, then there are many needs, and then there is much waiting, for our children and for our youth, when they may look in the future when thou spareth, then there can be many lawful waitings. For the middle age it becomes less, because then we are given to see that this world cannot give the full satisfaction. And oh, for the elderly who have come closer to the end of their life than a never-ending and all-decisive eternity awaits them. But, Lord, may thou wast given in this morning hour that there may have come souls up with that vehement desire, a thirsting and a longing, that they may come up to thy house, to praise thy great and worthy name, for thy wonderful works in the way of providence and in the way of grace, and with the prayer, to receive more of thee, to be led further into the mysteries of salvation. Oh, an Advent people, with those exercises, with that pleading, and Lord, it is true, there can come a time that their pleading becomes so faint and so feeble, where it seems that many things mock with them, but Lord, the people that cannot leave thee on their place, an Advent people, for a revelation, for an application, for the confirmation, an Advent, to experience that sweet communion, Lord, with thee. Lord, perhaps in this morning, a soul, because we read of the psalmist that it has become very low, and Job, in the midst of all his trials, then he was even given to declare to his friends that he was scared with his dreams. Perhaps a soul for whom it seems so impossible, that they have thought to remain home as a Thomas. But since there was no lawful excuse, no freedom to unburden their heart to the family circle, that they have come up with a who can tell, perhaps a looking unto thee, and yet a beggar's prayer, a soul, that also in the past week has to confess that they have ruined everything, not becoming better, but only worse. But yet a soul, with the prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner, Lord. We have heard out of thy holy word of that great and precious proclamation that there was a great Savior for in Egypt that dwelt far from the courts of the Lord, and that is a great Savior for a great sinner with great needs, with great perplexities, with great riddles, which they cannot solve. Lord, we have seen it in this morning, that the sun may arise in its beauty and in its glory, and thou wast promised to an Advent church, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing of his wings, wonder-doing God. May it please thee in this season, a season where the world is taken up with the things of time and sense, but may it please thee in this season to pour out thy Holy Spirit in a richer measure upon us and our children, to work that need, the exercises, but also the fulfillment of that Advent. And then the great Savior, then great praises shall arise out of the dust, where thou as a people upon the earth, in the way of bewonderment, where they cannot bow low enough, with a desire that thou may receive all the honor and the praise. Lord, we commend unto thee so many upon this earth on this Sabbath day that are denied the free access to the means of grace. There are many in hospitals, many in prisons, but also so many in so many countries where there is persecution, where they cannot come up freely and unhindered as we and our children. There are countries where there is turmoil, where there is war, and Lord, who maketh us to differ? We have to confess that we take so much for granted. And then it is so necessary each time by renewal that we may receive a soft heart under thy goodness and under thy mercies with prayers multiplied for the wonders of thy free and sovereign grace. O Lord, in the past week, then thou wast not only spared us all, but thou wast also granted life, where thou wast gladdened a father and mother for the first time in their married life with the birth of a little child, a little daughter. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to grant them soft hearts, given to see thy wonders, the wonderful creation with a well-born child, and that the prayers may be multiplied, that it may also receive the second birth. We commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents. Oh, do grant them a soft heart, with their increased blessings, but also the increased responsibility. We commend unto thee the barren ones. We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou graciously watch over them? Lord, we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, all the elderly ones, and all under the physician's care, all the different circumstances, with the pain, with the weariness, with the fears, with the concerns, they are most perfectly known unto thee. Oh, do grant a special place at thy footstool, and that thy special speaking in the lives of younger and older, that they may be sanctified. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens, remember the handicapped ones, and do remember all the sick relatives, the different circumstances. We commend them all unto thee. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help in this morning. Oh, do open thy precious testimony, open our mouth and open our hearts, and that thy word may go forth with power divine. Also in this hour, then we cannot remain the same. O Lord, come then down with thy spirit, with thy power and with thy blood. Wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, the lawfully hindered ones, the ones with the little ones, when they are at home. Grant also a blessing in the dwellings. Lord, may the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our transgressions, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 275, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the school. Psalter 275, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Isaiah 19, the verses 18 and 19 and 20. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. In that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. For they shall cry unto the Lord because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. Our text words speak of the proclamation of a great Savior for Egypt, with four thoughts. In the first place, the language of Canaan spoken in Egypt. Secondly, the altar and pillar erected in Egypt. Thirdly, the cry ascending out of Egypt. And fourthly, the deliver promise for Egypt. The proclamation of a great Savior for Egypt. The language of Canaan spoken. The altar and pillar erected. The cry ascending. And the deliver promised for Egypt. Thus first, the language of Canaan spoken in Egypt. Beloved congregation, our text words are found in the midst of the judgments of the Lord, which have been pronounced upon the many nations that have surrounded Israel. In Isaiah 12 and in Isaiah 25, there we read of the wonderful works of the Lord for his church, and a song of praise therefore. But in between those chapters, we read chapters of doom and gloom, and of the judgments that were pronounced and that would come upon all those nations. But now in our chapter, in the midst of those pronouncements, also concerning Egypt, then there is such a precious promise for Egypt, concerning a deliverer. Then there was promised unto them that there would be a Savior and a great one. And a great Savior is necessary for great sinners, for a people that have great riddles, great perplexities, great impossibilities. Oh, are there such souls in my midst that perhaps have to confess, maybe also in this morning, Lord, I am like an Egypt. That distance, oh, it is still a blessing when it may be felt and when it may be wept over, and that our heart may become soft. And now concerning the great need for that great Savior, and then the condition of the land of Egypt, that is declared in this chapter. And then we read, oh, what a blessing. And the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And then in the following verses, and then we read of the circumstances of that country and the great need for a deliverer and for a Savior. In verse 2, then we read that there would be a civil war in the country of Egypt. And the Lord has a people upon the earth where that civil war is not a strange matter to them. I hope, congregation, that we also have trouble with sin, a speaking conscience, that there is still a warfare in that respect. But what is now necessary, that by the work of the Spirit, that it is a warfare on account of regeneration and the love of the Lord shed abroad in the heart. We read of a Rebecca in Genesis 25, verse 22, when she realized that she was bearing twins, and that those twins, they struggled within her, that she went to inquire of the Lord and said, how am I thus? We read in the scriptures of that warfare, and that is a civil warfare between the old man and the new man, the warfare between the spirit and the flesh. Then in the next verse, then we read of idols of charmers, and that the case for them became more hopeless, and that their courage fails. That is not a strange matter to the true child of God, that with all their seeking and with all that working, and then they learn that they cannot deliver themselves. And then further in verse 4, then we read, and the Egyptians will I give over unto the hand of a cruel Lord. The church learns in a special way what a cruel Lord the devil is. Because the devil comes with his temptations. He comes with his lies. No, congregation, the devil, when he tempts us to sin, then he is not honest. Then he does not tell you, if you sin, then you shall go to hell. But he tempts us, he tries to flatter us, and he tells us that sin is not bad. But now the Lord has a people upon the earth that learn what a cruel Lord that the devil is. Oh, with his temptations, but also with his assaults and with his mockery and with his question, oh, the devilish joy to trouble the true child of God sometime by day and by night. Oh, then they are a people that are oppressed. It is the work of the Spirit to make room for that Savior and for a great one. Because the living child of God shall learn what a great death they shall be delivered from. And then further in the verses 5 through 9, and then we read of the river Nile, that was the life-giving river for the people of Egypt, when in the springtime, each time by renewal, when it would overflow its banks, but that there would come a time that that river would not do so, and that the waters would fail. Oh, that is also not a strange matter for the true child of God, when the Spirit makes room for a Savior, which is a great one. Oh, in the beginning, then those rivers, they are so full and so overflow, and they are privileged to drink thereof. I read in Psalm 46, verse 4, that the rivers of God may glad the city of God, and that spiritual refers to the work of a triune God, but also refers to the means of grace. But now the church, they experience all what all comes from above. And then our old fathers have many times stressed that they do well when those canals do not flow to examine their hearts whether there is a special reason. And now in those verses it is vividly described that the water shall fail, the river shall be wasted, and then the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up, the reeds and the flag shall wither. Oh, the church knoweth of those times when those rivers seem to fail, and what a privilege when that becomes an unbearable burden, when it may be with the psalmist, when they may thirst for the living God. And then further we read, the fishers also shall mourn. Formerly they have fished in the Nile River, they have caught many a fish, but now we read of the land of Egypt that there would be a time that they would mourn. Do we not read of the disciples in John 21 on the Sea of Galilee when they were fishing during the night? Oh, they have fished in the same sea. They have fished in the same manner, but that night they caught nothing. And then further in verse 10, oh, for Egypt, it would become such a hopeless case to deliver themselves from all their trials and all their needs. And then we read, and they shall be broken in the purposes thereof. Job has declared on the pile of ashes, my days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. And then further there is spoken of counselors that did not have a solution, that did not have an answer. Oh, for such a people, how to be saved? For such a one who was only becoming worse, blacker, and viler, that cannot save themselves by their works. Oh, we can be brought up under the truth, and we can have learned our catechism questions well, and that is necessary, and that is profitable. But in this chapter, when it speaks of counselor, oh, then there is room made for him of whom I read in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. Oh, then we read that the wise men could not help. We even read that Egypt, to err in every work thereof as a drunken man staggereth in his own vomit. Know then that true Egypt shall learn that they cannot save themselves by their works, that their best works are polluted with sin. And as we read in Isaiah 64, verse 6, that our righteousnesses, that they are as filthy rags. And then in verse 16, oh, of the women, the mothers at home, especially in Bible times, then they were more sheltered. They did not hear so much. They were comfortable within the confines of their home. But when they have heard everything that was taking place, they were greatly troubled. There was no rest. And then finally before our text, and the land of Judah shall be a tear unto Egypt. Everyone that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself. And why would Egypt now be afraid of Judah? It was the time of the prophet Isaiah, when the Assyrians, King Sennacherib, when he has sent Rabshakeh with his army to the land of Canaan, and that Jerusalem was besieged. Oh, then for Egypt, if the Lord shall do such things for the land of Judah who served the living God, then what shall be our lot, the land of Egypt, that lives so far away from the sanctuary? But it can also be understood that the wonders that they have heard that the Lord has done to Jerusalem when they were delivered from Assyrians, that they had profound impressions of the justice of the mighty God of Israel. Thus that was the condition of Egypt, for whom our text is spoken to in that day. Is there such an Egypt in my midst? Not all strange language, because when the Lord works, oh, then we experience and feel that distance, all our own fault. And then we experience that civil war, our idols, that they cannot help us. Oh, the devil, what a cruel lord he is. Concerning the waters, that they shall fail. Fishing, what those disciples have experienced. No counselors, filled with many fears, seem so hopeless for that country of Egypt, and now for that people, and our text, the people that have dwelt far away from the temple. Then there is a very special and a great promise for that people, a Savior and a great one. And then we read in our text words, in that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt. Thus it would be a great work. Perhaps not so clear, perhaps the five greatest cities in Egypt, including many others. Thus it was a time that the Lord would do a great work in Egypt by his Holy Spirit. And we must remember that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then it is possible, when the king of Assyria has come into the land of Canaan, that some Jewish people, that they have fled into Egypt, and that they have spoken of their wonderful God, who is almighty, that he is the only God. And in our text words, it is also in the future, because in these three verses, we read seven times the word shall, not maybe, not perhaps, but those covenant shells, the work of a triune God that shall be fulfilled. And then also this prophecy, because many prophecies in the Old Testament, they are in the first place a prophecy in the context of the time, and further concerning that nation in the future, but also concerning the New Testament gospel times, when the Lord would do a great work even concerning the latter days of the earth. We can picture it this way, congregation. When we behold the mountains from afar, and we see many peaks, Then there are many peaks that are closer, but there are also mountain peaks that are much further away. And so we must understand many prophecies in the Old Testament, also our prophecy in this morning hour, that it would already be in the Old Testament in a lesser extent, but especially concerning the New Testament time and concerning the land of Egypt in the year 322 before the birth of Christ. Then Alexander the Great has come to the land of Egypt and has delivered it from the bondage of the Medes and the Persians. That was a great deliverer. And in that time, then Alexander the Great, he has drawn the blueprint for the city of Alexandria, and historians tell us that in that city many Jews have come to dwell, and they have spoken of their mighty God of Israel. And so we read in our text that those labors would be blessed, that it shall not return void unto the Lord. Oh, it would be more so, because we read in the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2 verse 10, that there have also come that Jewish people from the land of Egypt. Oh, then on the day of Pentecost, also for that people, then our text was fulfilled. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan. We know, boys and girls, that at Babel, that the Lord has confounded the languages. Therefore, upon this world, there are so many languages spoken. And in the land of Canaan, then the language of Hebrew was spoken. But now when we read, oh, undoubtedly, maybe when the Jewish people have come, that the Egyptians have learned a little Hebrew, but when we read of these gospel blessings that would be given to the land of Egypt, and that in five cities in the land of Egypt, they would speak the language of Canaan. Do you know what language that is, boys and girls? The language of Canaan. That is the language of the experience of the people of God, which they are taught by the precious work of the Holy Spirit. When we think on the day of Pentecost, of course, that was a special day. But nevertheless, then we read that they have spoken in different tongues. That was different languages. But now when the Lord starts to work by His Spirit, it is true, in the beginning that people can be so timid and they can be so quiet, but they shall learn the language of Canaan, and they delight in that language because there is spoken of a great need, and the way that the Lord holds with His children, how they may come to a saving knowledge of that Savior, which is a great one. Oh, the language of Canaan, that is that thirsting, that desiring for the things of the Lord. Oh, the language of Canaan, that we read in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 25, verse 4, show me thy way, teach me thy paths. Oh, Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the courts of the Lord. And why has that people now a desire to dwell in the courts, to behold the beauty, oh, to hear that language of Canaan, the wonderful works of the Lord, whether it is possible for such a sinner as I am. Oh, we read of that language of Canaan, Psalm 63, verse 1, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth after thee, in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, as we have heard of the experience of the Egyptians. Oh, the language of Canaan, that we read in Psalm 88 of Haman, who was subject to bondage. Oh, the language of Canaan in Psalm 116, that I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. Oh, the language of Canaan, that is the language of a poor and needy sinner looked in the back of the temple, the publican in Luke 18, where he is smitten himself upon his breast, ashamed to look up unto heaven. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, the language of Canaan, that is the language of praise. If we think of the last psalm, Psalm 145 through 150, I will praise thee and extol thee, O my King. Do we not read in Psalm 136, praise the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, the language of Canaan, that we find in the New Testament. Oh, of needy and struggling souls, when they have come at the feet of Jesus, when they were given to unburden themselves. Oh, do we not read the language of Canaan, of a Bartimaeus, that his eyes would be opened? But further in the New Testament, oh, the language of Canaan, that the church learns Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Oh, the language of Canaan, that has been declared by Paul to his spiritual son Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of which I am chief. Oh, the language of Canaan, that is found in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of death. Oh, the language of Canaan, that is where the psalmist is declared in Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? Oh, the language of Canaan, that is found on the day of Pentecost. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Have we now learned that language, Canaan? Boys and girls, have you now learned that language? Have you become a weeper and have you become a praiser? Have you received a soft heart under all the Lord's mercies and goodness? Have you learned what a sinner you are? Have you experienced that distance? That is such a great distance that we can never bridge over. Have you experienced what it is to miss the Lord? Have you learned what it is when the Lord hides his face? Have you learned to become a beggar? Oh, what a precious promise for the land of Egypt, that they would be given to speak the language of Canaan. They would come on a special school. That is the school of King Jesus. And that is a school, people, where we are never finished. And the teacher, that is the Holy Spirit. And the textbook, that is the Bible. And so that people are given to learn. Oh, they desire to hear that language of Canaan. And I read in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And now concerning that language of Canaan, we read very special things. Oh, the Spirit has made room for a Savior, which was a great one. That is the language of Canaan. Is there then a way? that such a sinner as I am may be saved, and that the Lord may uphold all his attributes, because that true Canaan learns to love all the attributes of the Lord. That language of Canaan we have heard out of Lord's Day number 5. Since we by the righteous judgment of God deserve temporal and eternal punishment, is there any way that we may escape that punishment and be restored into that favor? And now we read further in our text. Let us also mention the city of destruction. In which book do we read of the city of instruction, boys and girls? Do you know? In Pilgrim's Progress. Whether this city is one of the 5 or another city is not so clear. But when we learn the language of Canaan, then we learn that we need to flee out of that city of destruction, because it shall all be burnt up. And then we read that that people, and swear to the Lord of hosts. Many times we read in the Bible that there were people that swore by the Lord of hosts, that they appealed to his omniscience and all his attributes, that the Lord was the hearer, the witness of their oath. But now that people of Egypt does not exclude it, but it does not say that they would swear by the Lord of hosts. Formerly they have swore by their idols and trusted in their idols and trusted in the Nile River. But now we read specifically, and swear to the Lord of hosts. That means they were given to yield themselves unconditionally to be the servant and the handmaiden of the Lord. Our second thought, the altar and pillar erected in Egypt. Let us first sing. Psalter 396, the first 5 stanzas. The Lord is strong to help the weak, upholding those that fall, restoring those bowed down with grief, and doing good to all. And what follows, Psalter 396, the first 5 stanzas. Thank you. altar and pillar erected in Egypt. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt. There are many different cities in which natural man dwells in. There is the city of worldliness, where we have not much respect for God's holy word. There is the city of self-righteousness, where we are secretly trusting when we are under the truth, and when we do our best, and we must walk according to that word, but that we secretly trust that it shall be well. There can be the city of hypocrisy, that with our actions, that we try to act out some religion, that we may have a name, but where it is all amiss. There can be the city of complacency and passiveness when we hear it that we live in the city of destruction, but that we try to excuse ourselves, hide behind our dead state, and that it is all of grace, that is the truth, but that we secretly blame the Lord. There can be the city of error. But now in those cities, then we read, in that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt. When we read of an altar in the land of Egypt, the Lord has clearly commanded that the sacrifices must only be brought to the altar in Jerusalem where the temple was standing. Thus, when we read in our text words that in those five cities in the land of Egypt, that there shall be an altar erected to the Lord, that is an altar of worship. Let us call it the altar of family worship. Because when those altars are missing in the midst of the family circle, then the church cannot prosper. Fathers and husbands, how is it with that family altar? An altar when you may gather your family together. For young husbands, what a responsibility when they make their marriage vows, when you become head of your dear wife, and then what a great task is laid upon your shoulder to immediately in your dwelling to erect that altar of family worship when there is scripture reading. An explanation does not have to be so long. A prayer and singing. And now we read that in the land of Egypt, that an altar would be erected to the Lord of hosts. And that is an altar of worship. That is an altar of prayer. That is an altar of thanksgiving. That is an altar of remembrance. That is an altar of communion. And that is an altar of a testimony that people have learned a little of the language of Canaan with a vehement desire that the Lord of hosts would richly dwell in their dwellings, because the dwellings, the family circle, that make up the church and the country. Oh, what a great work it would be that the Lord would do in the land of Egypt, that in that land an altar would be erected before they worshiped their idols, the different idols in the land of Egypt. But by the great work of that Spirit that was sent by that great Savior for the uncovering and by teaching the things of the Lord, that an altar was erected and it would be for a testimony to the people in Egypt that the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts, that is in capital letters, that I am, that he is the living God, that he is so worthy to be served, and that he is pleased to deliver, that he is able and willing. Oh, we have heard of the distress that Egypt would come in. The historical events are not so clear from history concerning those civil wars and concerning all the difficulties. But oh, at that altar, it would be an altar of trust where the family circles would tell the Lord everything. When they were overwhelmed, then the psalmist has declared, thou knewest my path. Thus what a rich work that the Lord would do in the five cities of Egypt, that an altar would be erected, that they would not be ashamed of the living God. We read of an Abram in Genesis 12 when he has come into the promised land, that he has erected an altar and the Canaanite was in the land. Oh, that altar was erected with that vehement desire that all people in Egypt would learn the language of Canaan, that all the people would be given to bow their knees before the living God. But not only an altar. We read, in that day shall there be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land. We read five times in this chapter, in the midst. It needs to be a work that we do not only hear of, but it needs to be in the midst of our hearts, in the midst of the family circles, in the midst of the church, and in the midst of the country. Oh, it was such a great work in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. We read each time to the Lord was for the Lord, for his honor and for his glory. Thus a pillar may be of stones, and not only in the midst of the land, but that pillar would be erected at the border of the land, that when travelers would come, you know it, boys and girls, when we enter a new province, then there is a sign, the province of Alberta. But now this country of Egypt, the Lord would work powerfully, lovingly by his Holy Spirit. There would be a great multitude, and that people would not be ashamed. What a false shame there can be in the midst of the church. But now in the land of Egypt, then there were people at the border that they would erect a pillar, declaring that the Lord of hosts, that he is the living God, and that he is able and willing to save to the uttermost. Thus what a testimony that there would be in the land of Egypt. And that was for a country that was steeped in superstition. May the prayers be multiplied for years, for many years, since the founding of our nation, then by the world, then also Canada was looked upon as a Christian nation. Former days, nearly all families had a Bible, and let us hope many families a family altar. But now, alas, no longer that testimony, and no longer that pillar. And who was grieved about it? You know what is necessary, what that family altar, congregation, that godly sorrow over sin. One that is missed in the family circles and in the midst of church. Then we can try to hold on to the old ways. That is good. Read that in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. But then soon there shall be a sliding away, because then sin shall be sin no more. And then we shall justify ourselves going along with the world and a superficial religion. Oh, for the land of Egypt, a pillar that they have erected undoubtedly on the main roadway that came into the country, declaring that the land of Egypt, that the Lord of hosts, that he was the living God, that he was able to deliver even when they were oppressed. The cry ascending out of Egypt. Then that people, we read it, and it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts. What would now be the sign and the witness? What would now be the proof that there were people that have learned that language of Canaan? Because people, we can try to imitate it, and we can try to sound very reformed, but that language of Canaan that is learned in the way of experience, taught by the Holy Spirit, and that shall be witnessed, shall be a sign and for a witness in the family circles with the family altar of worship, but also a pillar more in public to declare that the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and of the earth, Lord in capital letters, that he is the living God. And now that people, we read that they would be oppressed, for they shall cry unto the Lord. And that word cry, that in the Hebrew, that means to cry very loudly and very fervently. They shall cry because of the oppressors. We must close in this morning. But now for that people. Oh, what precious words in our text words. What a rich proclamation of the gospel for a people that have learned what we have heard concerning the condition of Egypt with their altar, with the pillar. Oh, it is true. There can be times in the life of the church that they wish that they have never erected that pillar, because it seems that that pillar only mocks with them. Oh, their pleadings, they can become so feeble. Can even be that they take that pillar down. Nevertheless, that people, they learn what it is to be oppressed. And then what a wonderful proclamation that in our text it speaks that the Lord shall send. Does a send deliver? And then we read further, a Savior that is one to deliver out of the greatest need. And then it is very clear in our text words that our text words, they speak of times of revivals, but especially of the New Testament church, when the Father would send that Savior And we read in this prophecy of Isaiah 53 verse 2, He hath no form nor comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him, but a Savior. And then it is stressed in our text words, a great one who should deliver us people. Oh, what a precious gospel message for a poor and needy people that cannot save themselves, and for a people that have learned in beginning the revelation of that Savior, which is a great one, because in that revelation they may be given to see such a fullness and such a beauty and such a willingness that he can save to the uttermost, but also further to learn more of that greatness, what it has cost the Savior to save his church, and also to receive the application. All our text words declare, congregation, that it is not impossible, no impossible cases for this great and this precious Savior, because he is such a great Savior that he can save to the uttermost. So that means congregation. If you go lost, it shall be all your own fault. Also in this morning, and even if you say you are like Egypt, live so far away, but even for Egypt, what a precious proclamation of that precious gospel, of that precious Savior, that he shall send a Savior, and he shall send them a Savior and a great one, and he shall deliver them. In our text it is declared what we further read in this prophecy, Isaiah 28 verse 29, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of the promise of that Savior, which would be a great one, and he would deliver Egypt. Time did not permit to expound the greatness and the willingness of that Savior, thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a great work it was to save his church. Oh, he has even went down to Egypt. He was persecuted. No room upon this earth for him. And he has also experienced what we have heard of the condition of Egypt, where the waters have dried up. He is hung on the cross, and he has cried out, I thirst. Lord, may it please thee to grant the blessing of Egypt unto us and our dear children. Oh, that we may learn the language of Canaan, where the family altars are missed, then they shall be erected, and also the pillars of testimony. Then there shall be a praying church. Tis the work of the Spirit to make room for the great Savior. Lord, work then wonderfully in our midst, in the hearts of young and old. Watch over us on this Sabbath day. How wilt thou remember and help fathers and mothers when they may gather with the family circle, dwelling in their homes, and of little freedom to speak. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies and bring us back in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. our closing Psalter, Psalter 238, the stanzas 1 and 3. As Zion founded on the mountains, God thy Maker loves thee well. He has chosen thee most precious. He delights in thee to dwell. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a midweek service on Thursday, December 8 at 7:30 p.m. And after the service, there will be a sing-along for the youth in the parsonage. And there will be a male members meeting on December 15 at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 238, the stanzas 1 and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.